Pinnacle acquires Masaba from Delta. Boeing acquires Argonne ST. And California flight instructors hope for relief from lawmakers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, July 2nd, 2010. Delta became the world's largest airline by acquiring Northwest last year. Yesterday, it got slightly smaller. Pinnacle Airlines Corporation announced yesterday it's acquired Masaba Aviation from Delta for $62 million. Pinnacle's group now includes the Pinnacle, Masaba, and Colgan Air brands. The deal freezes in place agreements between Masaba and Delta for up to 12 years. Masaba CEO Phil Trenary commented, quote, "This transaction brings together very strong and very similar organizations. Together, we will be even stronger, well-positioned to be a major competitive player for the long term," unquote. The combined operation will shed its fleet of 66 Saab SF340s and focus on CRJs and Q400s. Trenary explained, quote, "As we grow, our emphasis will be on expanding our existing fleets of CRJ-900 and Q400 aircraft, the most cost-effective and fuel-efficient aircraft types within their respective classes, and what our airline partners are demanding," unquote. Boeing and Argonne ST announced on Tuesday that they've entered into an agreement for Boeing's acquisition of Argonne in an all-cash tender offer and merger for $34.50 per share, or about $775 million. Argonne ST is a developer of command, control, communications, computers, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, and combat systems. Boeing says the acquisition serves its growth strategy and expands the company's capabilities to address the C4ISR, cyber, and intelligence markets. The deal is subject to the approval of the shareholders of Argonne ST and is expected to close by the end of the third quarter. Flight instructors in California are holding their breath today as state lawmakers prepare to take a July 4th recess. California pilots have been urged to contact their representatives to push for the passage of Assembly Bill 1140. That was originally a health care bill, but it's now a hollowed-out shell which has been replaced with language for the sole purpose of delaying the August 1st implementation of big fees and new regulations on flight schools. The repurposed health care bill gets around a prohibition against new bills being introduced before January of next year. It would force the state to delay enforcement of the new fees and reporting requirements on flight instructors until the end of the year, and would require the legislature to hold public informational hearings to review the appropriateness of the charges and new requirements on instructors. Searchers have found that missing Piper Aero in northwest Montana, and the news is not good. The bodies of all four occupants were found with the wreckage. The Spokane Spokesman Review reports the crash site near Revis Creek was found by a U.S. Department of Homeland Security helicopter crew. Because of terrain, officials say they expect to have to send in hikers to pack out the bodies. Pilot Sonny Kless reportedly had about 100 hours, 30 in that Piper Aero, which he rented to take his friends flying. His mother said the 25-year-old got his airman certificate about a year ago and had flown the same route to Glacier National Park, Flathead Lake, and Flathead River several times. The last radar returns on Sunday had the plane flying at just 300 feet AGL. The NTSB is investigating. Up next on ANN, a glitch grounds the solar impulse. A Seattle museum plunges ahead with its plan to win a shuttle. And two new members are seated on the NTSB. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The team hoping to fly an aircraft around the clock on solar and battery power alone had to cancel its first scheduled night test flight yesterday due to a technical problem. The solar impulse is supposed to have enough excess charging capacity to fill batteries during daytime flight, allowing it to make it through the night. We'll have to wait a bit longer to see if that works. Solar Impulse co-founder Bertrand Piccard told AFP News that a failure occurred in a critical place in the plane, and a decision was made to postpone the 24-hour attempt. Naturally, as Murphy would have it, weather at the Swiss airport where the test was scheduled was near perfect yesterday. Piccard declined to specify a date for the next try, but said his team would shoot for the end of July or early August. Seattle's Museum of Flight broke ground Tuesday on the first phase of its new 15,000-square-foot human spaceflight gallery, which it hopes will lead to the facility being awarded one of NASA's retiring space shuttles. Interim museum president and former president of Microsoft, Michael Hallman, called the possibility, quote, a tremendous opportunity for the state of Washington in terms of the economy, tourism, and the educational impact this could have on our community. We believe our institution has the finest education, curatorial, and exhibits staff to be found anywhere, and we believe we're uniquely qualified to be an outstanding caretaker for this incredible piece of American history, unquote. The decision from NASA will be focused on K-12 education and inspiration to science, technology, engineering, and math, called the STEM disciplines. They'll also need a long enough runway on which to land the 747 that carries the shuttles to their ultimate destinations, and they'll need to be located near a large metropolitan area. Mark R. Rosekind and Earl F. Wiener, both PhDs, took the oath of office Wednesday as new members of the National Transportation Safety Board. Dr. Rosekind is an internationally recognized fatigue expert who has conducted research and implemented programs in diverse settings, including all modes of transportation, healthcare, law enforcement, elite athlete, and military groups. Dr. Wiener is a pilot who recently has been a consultant and fellow for the Flight Safety Foundation, where he worked to reduce accidents through coordinated industry programs. He also spent 15 years at Boeing. Rosekind's term runs through 2014, Wiener's through 2015. Still ahead, the FAA wants to fine trans states $2.4 million. Ryanair will leave you hanging. And that's not lint, that's a maggot. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, July 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA is proposing $2.4 million in civil penalties against Transstates Airlines and GoJet Airlines for operating 9 jets on 320 revenue passenger flights in violation of the regs. The FAA alleges they used outdated manufacturers' maintenance instructions to perform repairs, failed to connect a wing flap actuator to its torque tube, rendering the flaps inoperative, failed to document an inspection after an aircraft was damaged by severe turbulence, failed to document and carry out proper repairs after aircraft warning systems identified problems, improperly repaired an engine oil leak, and failed to comply with minimum equipment list regulations. In another case, the FAA is proposing civil penalties totaling $422,000 against two Indian companies for violations of DOT hazmat regulations. The FAA alleges that IIS and Allied Services and its freight forwarder, Gallant Freight and Travels Private Limited of Mumbai, India, offered a shipment containing depleted uranium, which is still radioactive, to British Airways for air transport from Mumbai to Boston in 2008, without declaring the hazardous nature of the contents. That shipment flew as cargo on a passenger flight. British Airways employees at its cargo center in Boston discovered the radioactive material when the bottom of the outer packaging failed and separated from the rest of the crate. The parties in both cases have 30 days to respond to the FAA's proposed fines. Airline travel really is becoming buses with wings. Ryanair, the Irish discount airline, still hopes to be able to offer tickets as low as about $7.50 at current exchange rates to passengers willing to be left hanging, literally, as in standing at the back of the plane. Regulators are skeptical that the company can fit its plan into the requirement that passengers wear seatbelts during takeoffs, landings, and periods of turbulence. But the company's looking at something it calls vertical seats, a place to lean and strap in against a slightly angled surface to see if it could meet the letter, if not the spirit, of the law. The goal is to replace the last 10 rows with the standing area. Ryanair also says it hasn't given up on pay toilets on flights under an hour in duration. CEO Michael O'Leary hopes the charge of £1 to use the loo would convince people to use the airport restrooms before boarding instead. And finally, the next time one of your friends seems to think he has the best story ever illustrating the declining airline experience, tell him to see if he can top this one. On Monday, a U.S. Airways flight departing Atlanta for Charlotte had to return to the gate when maggots started falling out of the overhead bins onto passengers. Some passenger had brought aboard a container of spoiled meat in a carry-on. The movie will be called Steaks on a Plane. Sorry, couldn't resist. Donna Adamo told ABC News the plane was already taxiing when the woman seated behind her began to shout and refused to sit back down, screaming, "There's one over here!" Shortly after, Adamo noticed something on her clothes. Quote, "I thought it was a piece of lint, but when I went to flick it off, it was squishy," unquote. An hour after getting back to the gate, what the airline calls a thorough cleaning and scrubbing was complete, and the passengers were invited back aboard. After the flight, the plane was fumigated, just to be sure. Donna had two good questions after it was over. Quote, "How did they not catch that through security?" unquote. And, pondering why anyone would need to bring meat on a plane, quote, "I don't know what type of meat there is in Atlanta that you can't buy in Charlotte," unquote. You know, call me hopelessly glass half full, but I see an upside in this. Somewhere out there, there's at least one clean U.S. Airways plane. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Glass Air's Scott Taylor tells us what his company was doing at Copa's Migration 8. Our audiocasts are going to be taking Monday off for the Independence holiday here in the States. We'll be back on a normal schedule on Tuesday, July 6th. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.